me personally, as far as mentally, I'm not in playoff mode. Physically, I'm getting there. I feel like my legs are gotten better and better. My game has improved more and more. I'm getting more and more comfortable with the bubble. But as far as the mental side of it, no, I'm not there personally. I don't think our team is there personally, but we will be.
That's LeBron James, who says he and his Lakers struggled to get ready for this week's NBA playoffs. They're not alone. 15 other teams are prepping for a postseason unlike any other. Do these Lakers have what it takes to win it all with King James? First, they'll have to get past the red-hot Blazers, who flourished amid the chaos. From Philly without Ben Simmons, to how the Clippers can defend Luka Doncic. Today, Doris Burke joins the show from Orlando to preview the playoffs and shares how she's doing after her March COVID diagnosis. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Monday, August 17th. This is ESPN Daily. Doris, I need to start with something you said on the air earlier this month, because you are a Hall of Fame broadcaster who had a Hall of Fame line when you were calling Grizzlies Pelicans.
Offensive foul on Lonzo Ball. Nothing more.
I do like being right.
Hey.
Ask my ex-husband.
Happens every time. There's a reason it's ex, huh?
So before we get to the actual game analysis, my first question is, have you heard from your ex-husband since he became famous?
Actually, I reached out to him and said, oh my goodness, I never expected that to get legs. The game at the moment, you know, was not super high quality. And it was a throwaway line. But I will tell you what my ex-husband said. I have the utmost respect for Doris. She's a great broadcaster and a better mom. And I said, you're a sweetheart. You could have had a little bit of fun and certainly had some fun at my expense. But he chose not to go in that direction, and kudos to him. And I don't think people interpreted this in this way. I was sort of making fun of myself, right? Or, you know, I meant what I said. I do like to be right. Like, who doesn't? But certainly it got better, more legs than I expected. That's for darn sure.
Well, your proclivity for being right is exactly why I've invited you to talk to me here today about the NBA playoffs. And as entertainment goes, Doris, like, the Portland Trailblazers may not be the best team in the bubble, but I would say, for me at least, they've been responsible for the best games in the bubble. And I think of Damian Lillard draining that three from the logo against the Nets.
Slows it across the center court circle, takes a logo three. It's good! Logo Lillard at his finest. He's got 33!
I think of CJ McCollum dribbling between his legs five straight times before pulling up on Ja Morant to seal the game just on Saturday.
Drives, pulls up. Puts it in. CJ McCollum clutch here in the fourth quarter.
I think of the resurrection of Carmelo Anthony.
And now he attacks, dribbles, drives, and kicks. Melo the three on the way. Got it! Carmelo Anthony.
So what do you see when you watch these Blazers?
You know, what's incredible to me is the level Damian has reached. And he had a similar stretch back in January. But what is striking about what's happening now is that every single bit of what he has provided, every point, that incredible steal late, it's been required. So it's not only, you know, this brilliance as a basketball player, his extraordinary range, the fact that he made a commitment to be a better finisher at the rim, and that has come to fruition. It feels like a game seven. And you know, what's pretty cool for me as a fan of the game, Pablo, has been watching this in my hotel room. This experience feels different as a broadcaster. But when I'm watching as a fan in my room, the presentation, the feel of it, I mean, I'm completely wrapped up and lost in the environment. For me, it hasn't felt all that different than when I'm wrapped up in a playoff game that I'm not working and just watching as a fan.
Every postseason, we can remember, LeBron shows up with that extra gear that looks so different from the months that came before. So what kind of LeBron do you think we'll be getting when these games start?
Listen, I have felt so lucky to be up close and personal as his career has played out. You know, he certainly made the case, at least, that the discussion is there, who's better, he or Michael. It is hard for me to go against all of the history I have watched and how extraordinary he has been in those moments. But he certainly hasn't looked like he did in March and like he was amping up toward the playoffs. Now, what I expect, the LeBron we saw all season, which was dominant, leading the league in passing, I can't go against what my eyes have seen for the entirety of his career. And that's, you know, elite when it matters most.
I mean, there are rumors, speaking to what you just said, of in the layoff, LeBron was at a superfan Lakers like mansion where there was a replica Staples Center. And that's where they were sort of preparing for the bubble. That is not something that I know of where there's a Clippers equivalent. So getting to this whole notion of, okay, the Clippers may well be right there at the end with LeBron and the Lakers. In this series, Doris, the Clippers have this fantastic offense. They have all these superstars that we now know of, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George. But the Mavericks answer with Luka Doncic and the most efficient offense in the history of basketball. What do you see from the Mavs' attempt now to threaten the Los Angeles Clippers?
Well, they're going to score. I mean, listen, the Clippers defensively, and in any way, they're stacked. And I sort of marveled as the year played out and Lawrence Frank and their front office continued to add talent. So you add Morris, you add Reggie Jackson. They kept stockpiling talent. And I was like, wow, are there enough minutes? Why are they doing this? And they're doing it because the West is absolutely brutal to try to come out of. Watching what the Clippers front office did in terms of talent acquisition was truly striking to me. And I think all of it will be required. And I think they're going to score, Dallas. They are fully structured around this incredible striking talent in Luka Doncic. And he is relentlessly touching the paint. And they surround him with shooting. And everything's predicated off that ability. And Kristaps Porzingis has been absolutely dynamite and has gotten some juice. But the fact of the matter is, I believe the Clippers are the deepest, most talented team here. I think some of the personnel losses, particularly Avery Bradley from the Lakers, is significant. And so I think the Clippers win that series. But I do think Dallas scores because I think they are that good offensively.
Let's get to the other top seed in the East now with Milwaukee. And I know Bucks fans are probably frustrated that we've now talked about three teams before even mentioning Giannis Antetokounmpo. That's how it works, Milwaukee. I'm sorry. But there's a fascinating evolution happening, Doris. Giannis sort of entered the bubble as something of still like this childlike, innocent, almost foreign exchange student character. But in the bubble, we've seen him headbutt people, get suspended for it. We've seen him grow into his own as kind of this, and I say this word as NBA players take it as a compliment, as this like apex predator type. Now they go on and they hunt the Magic. So how good is this particular iteration of the Milwaukee Bucks?
You know, they have a great season last year, and they have fine-tuned their defensive system. They have grooved their offense. They know who they are and how they win. And there's corporate knowledge and familiarity and incredible chemistry amongst the group. So they are really good. And your point about Giannis is valid because he said something fascinating during the course of this year, which was, last year I was stubborn. This year I want to win. So when teams walled him off and crowded him and forced him into certain things, you know, he reacted with a level of pride instead of sort of the humility that's required to say, okay, I have to react to what they're doing. So historically elite defense, historically elite, protecting the rim. And the fact of the matter is, as much as we emphasize the three-point shooting and its influence on both sides of the ball in every organization, it is true. But the most valuable real estate in NBA basketball remains the paint and restricted area, and they are historically great at protecting it. They have two guys who I believe could have finished top five in Defensive Player of the Year. Giannis, I think, is going to win it and become one of those rare players who wins back-to-back MVPs and the Defensive Player of the Year. I think they're really good. I think there are two legitimate threats to Milwaukee, with Toronto being slightly higher in my mind than the Boston Celtics, but both really dangerous.
Coming up, let's take a closer look at the rest of the matchups in the East, and if the Raptors have a shot at history's most improbable back-to-back championships.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured, it was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo, another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Let's talk about that Sixers-Celtics series now, because you'd mentioned the Defensive Player of the Year candidates in the league. One of them is Ben Simmons. And Ben Simmons, obviously, Doris, has this knee issue. He's not going to be available. He's out indefinitely. And, you know, it's so funny because the NBA media, NBA Twitter, we all talk about Ben Simmons not being able to shoot so much to the point where, like, for me, he's this flying car that's missing a stereo. It's a very annoying limitation. I understand this. You want to play music in your car, but the car can fly. And so now, Doris, we lose the guy who can do all these other amazing things, defend, maybe foremost among them. And so the Sixers defense has to get ready for a really, really good Celtics offense without Ben Simmons there to help on Jason Tatum. So is there even hope for Philadelphia at this point?
There is. But I'm going to just say this to you. Ben Simmons can essentially guard 1 through 5. He really could guard a center in a pinch. And he's elite. And I mean, elite on the defensive end. And he would have been the matchup for Jason Tatum. And with the way Boston spreads you out, with the way they can post mismatches, which will, in the way they can beat you off the dribble, your next best answer is Josh Richardson or Matisse Thybulle. And so, you know, we can talk about the starting lineup and who's starting in place of Ben Simmons. That may change over the course of the series, depending on the damage Jason Tatum is doing or maybe Kemba Walker. Because again, once you skew those matchups, like Ben Simmons has guarded an absurd number of all-stars by possession all season long. Like, it's significant. Do they have a chance? Of course they have a chance, because they have the most dominant, fearsome, low post presence in the league. And when Joel Embiid is engaged and he's deciding to employ his devastating skill set on both ends of the floor, you know, consistently demanding the basketball, just dominating people, you're going to have to send a secondary defender. You're going to put an extra shooter on the floor without Ben Simmons. So yeah, you have a chance. But is Joel prepared to do it for 7 games? I don't know the answer to that. It's a fascinating series. It is one of my games, and I am truly psyched about it.
So Doris, a little while back, you mentioned your respect for the Raptors. And with this Raptors-Nets series that's about to start, I don't want to shortchange anybody involved, because we also just watched the Nets be so much better than I think either of us thought. Is that safe to say?
To be honest with you, they are a Caris LeVert shot from sending, you know, the most compelling story, you know, Portland home.
Right.
They are a Caris LeVert made basket from ending the incredible run of Damian Lillard. Listen, I would assume Jacques Vaughn has earned some equity, and it'll be interesting to see which way they go in their coaching decision, because obviously coaching this group is going to be different than coaching Kyrie and Kevin Durant. But yeah, I've been blown away. I think Toronto's a serious threat to come out of the East. And Frank Vogel's response was, I think they're a serious threat to repeat. And it may not happen. Obviously, winning a championship is hard. And I don't think he's the only coach thinking, oh boy, they could possibly come out of the East. Like, the top of the East is really competitive. The West, was it the grueling test the West was? No, absolutely not. But Milwaukee is real. Toronto is real and Boston is real. And how that plays out, I can't wait.
So on the Raptors, I mean, I could not have been more wrong as someone who, with most people, I think, underestimated just how good they would be without Kawhi Leonard. And it honestly feels, with all due respect to Nick Nurse, it feels like I'm so late in even just declaring that right now in August of 2020. Like, they've proven it. But when they play together, Doris, what do you see? Because they have not missed a step without arguably the guy who was the best player in the world when they won the title with them.
I see a team that has championship pedigree. I see a team that loves to play and loves to play together. I see a team that can execute a game plan and do it consistently on both ends of the floor. I see a team that has complete trust and faith in their coaches and will execute in a moment's notice, changing defenses, changing strategies, possession to possession, mid-possession, over the course of a game because an opponent has gotten hot. I see a group that has individual strength on the defensive end at every position. Tell me this, Pablo. Name a Raptor that's weak defensively from an individual skill standpoint. Is Kyle Lowry? No. Like, they're deep. They're talented. They're well coached. They are legit. You got me excited. Like, I can't wait for tomorrow.
No, the Raptors, I mean, how they built that team is so absurd. It's so absurd. But I want to turn to another series that has me feeling a few chill bumps already, because we get Rockets Thunder, and we started this conversation by talking about X's, Doris. But here we have James Harden and Chris Paul and Russell Westbrook, all X's of the other team in question, right? They have long memories and insane skill sets. What are we going to get from this particular combination?
First of all, the fact that Chris is an all-star in year 15. The fact that he completely bought into everything that happened in Oklahoma City. The fact that for the first time in his career, he was away from his family for extended stretches and still produced at the level, because I know that was not easy for him. I don't think we can sell short the leadership and the basketball intellect. You might as well have two head coaches. You have that level of study and preparation and knowledge in Chris Paul. So what an incredible advantage. Russell's story, as it relates to the quad, concerns me. Hopefully it's nothing, and hopefully he misses one game or whatever the case. Maybe he doesn't even miss any. Their long-term success in the playoffs is predicated on him being able to get back. But James Harden, and when you look at what he has done, when Russell has been off the floor this year, the Rockets have still been very good. You're putting an extra shooter on the floor. He is a basketball virtuoso, whether you like his style or you don't. I think he's probably underappreciated, James Harden, in terms of what he has mastered. This is the drama of this alone, with the bad feeling, as you say. There's an intensity to the X that makes this compelling, and all the storylines.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to wrap soon, but we didn't even really get to dive into TJ Warren and Jimmy Butler, which is its own soap opera over that series. We didn't even get to speak the name, Doris, of Bol Bol, who has emerged alongside Michael Porter Jr. as these like alien characters. I mean, is there anything you want to mention about the Nuggets? Because I know from listening to you how fascinated you are by that team in specific.
Well, I had asked Mike Malone directly, you know, where are Will Barton and Gary Harris, guys? And Mike is a true coach's coach. So you earn equity every day in practice and by your, and he feels like very much. It's why Michael Porter works so hard to get himself in the rotations, because when you have history with Mike and when you've been able to contribute to winning, he values that and he values it long term. So it was not an easy year for Michael Porter Jr. Here's what I'll tell you. And I asked for our guys to document this because I have that series as well. Like when Michael Porter Jr. is rising and firing threes with LeBron James in his grill, it gives you some sense of the confidence this kid brings to the table. He elevates their ceiling. And it may not ultimately matter because, again, coming out of the West is hard. It's really hard. But he's a shot maker. He's athletic. And he's playing with arguably the best passing big man that we've ever seen, certainly that I have ever seen. And so I'm intrigued by Denver.
So, Doris, I want to finish our conversation here by just talking about you for a second here. We know you contracted and thankfully recovered from COVID-19. You shared that very publicly back in March. You spoke about it with Woj at ESPN. How has that experience given you a perspective on what it means to be here in the middle of all of the things that you're describing, to even have the chance to be in this particularly historic setting for what seems to be a particularly historic postseason?
I kept saying in the aftermath of recovering from COVID how thankful I was. Because as this wore on, and it wore on quickly, you come to know how serious it is. And I lost one of my closest friends, baseball executive at the minor league level. He had such love for life. I have been thankful. I am more thankful. And I am in awe of what the NBA has achieved. This was a monster undertaking in so many levels. And it's required commitment from the players, from the staffs, and from the workers who have decided to come in and do this. I'm in awe of it. I feel lucky to be here. It's going to be historic on so many levels. I'm truly thankful to have an opportunity to do something I love, and maybe never more so because of what we've seen on any number of levels.
Well, Doris, we feel lucky to have you as well. So thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Pablo.
Next on ESPN Daily, how the NBA put all these playoff rivalries aside to join forces against their most daunting opponent.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Here's another story I want you to know. One morning in mid-May, Nathan Grubaugh, an assistant professor of epidemiology at Yale, received an exceptionally strange message. In April, his team had published eye-opening research showing that saliva tests for coronavirus could be as accurate as the tests that stick a swab up your nostril. So he'd been getting lots of strange messages. But this one had the word Timberwolves in the subject line. The sender was Robbie Sicca, a physician who just happened to be the vice president of basketball performance and technology for the Minnesota Timberwolves. And what happened next was weeks of calls between the NBA and the Yale researchers. The league learned that Gruba's team had not yet made a saliva test of their own design. And so the NBA and the NBA Players Union donated more than $500,000 to fund the creation of one. Over the weekend, that investment paid off. ESPN's Zach Lowe reports that the U.S. Food and Drug Administration issued an emergency authorization for the new Yale test called Saliva Direct. And you may be familiar with this genre of test already. A few weeks ago, for instance, I myself spit into a plastic tube, mailed it off to a different company, and got results within a couple days. But that test cost $150. This one costs $4 to make and could sell for just $15 while offering 90% accuracy. All of which would change the game, allowing both athletes and asymptomatic Americans everywhere to get tested far more often for a fraction of the cost. And that's not all. The teams from Yale and the NBA also vowed to make a grand total of $0 off their investment. And so while many are scrambling to profit from the pandemic instead of stopping it, this partnership is sending a different message entirely. I'm Pablo Torre. This has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.